The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the College for Creative Studies in downtown Detroit, Michigan, it's Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
As always. How are you doing, Dave?
Tired. Very tired.
Tired because we were staying up very late last night.
Very late last night, watching the Tigers game, preparing a class assignment, and then just...
You were doing work, too? What's your problem?
I told Beth earlier, I had to give away my last game. I had to give away the tickets to...
Oh, that's right, because of the scheduling, right?
No, because I had to work.
Okay.
I went to Monday night's game, got home at 9:30, found out I had 30 drawings due the next day, so there's no way I was going to finish the drawings and go to the second game.
I see. But no problem with the timing of the next game that you have tickets
for. No, I'm just leaving class early, that's all.
Right, it's a 4 o'clock game, I think?
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Very, very cool. The Tigers are so enthralling, so important to what's going on in Detroit that Professor Dan Maggio watched 7 innings before he fell asleep
wow.
last night.
Maybe I'll watch 9 the next time they're on.
If we make the series again,
I was a little
we'll
tired.
It's all right. I mean, to a lot of people, it's boring to not see many runs scored, but Verlander was on fire last night.
But I'm a fair-weather fan, so seven's a lot.
The weather is quite fair, Dan, I have to say right now. It's quite fair. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm good. Very good. I was on vacation Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so I'm just getting back into the swing of things and the weekends here.
Sure, sure.
It is Friday, Dan.
I know. Did I say that?
Dan, how much grading do you have to do this weekend?
I don't have any. Although I do miss that part. But
you want to come over
really?
And grade our papers then?
Not so much the grading, but if I had to grade a little bit, I wouldn't be too upset, but just for a little.
Yeah.
Only math. I'm not reading anything.
Yeah.
You can do my objective questions, my true, false, and multiple choice.
Sure.
Actually, I'm going to do them.
We're hearing, of course, the voice of Professor Beth Oljar from philosophy, who has a number of papers to take care of this fall break. How many? How many papers? Just estimate.
It's a math question.
Hundreds.
Over 100.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I couldn't do it. I could not do it. I already have to interpret, illustrative chemical structures. That's enough. It's barely.
I get my husband to be my sous professor. He's my sous chef when I need that done.
And sure.
He will grade objective questions and tally up scores on exams for me.
And that's nice. I have my wife help me with tally, too, because at that point, it's the most critical part of the student's grade, putting these numbers together. And I'm in the least, the night before I'm passing it back, mode to be able to add two numbers together. That's
wow,
not. So I give it to my wife.
Very well. I mean, my wife just takes care of my website. I mean,
That's pretty good, too. Come on, man. You're an artist. Well, folks, we are very, very lucky to have a special guest panelist, and somehow that doesn't even sound right because we have former host of the show, Edwin DeWint from History, with us here at the table today.
Thank you very much, and I have no idea why I'm here.
That's okay. Neither do we.
That's right.
We've been asking the same question of ourselves for years, too. So.
I know there's a few faces and voices our listeners will miss. We're going into UDM's, essentially, quote-unquote, in this generation, first-ever fall break, and a lot of people are taking advantage of it in other ways than grading their brains out.
Well, and our annual reports are due the 15th, which are, those things are always guaranteed to make me feel terrible about myself.
Yeah,
why don't you do what I do?
I know they're not contractually required.
That's true, but whenever I have to fill those things out and they tell me, what have you done this year, I just said, I haven't been arrested.
No. That's not bad.
I'm going to lower my standards significantly, right?
Bad. Yeah. Just awesome. Let everyone know all those arrests, no convictions. It's a little bit better now.
Yeah, that's also true.
I serve Satan faithfully.
You should put that in there.
Corrupted the youth with all my heart.
Was accused of, serving Satan. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. Just dump the panel. You can win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166 or send the questions USPS to College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. As long as the U.S. Postal Service is still working, you can reach us in that way. Profs, I've got some questions here from, quote, an angry listener. Unquote.
Oh dear.
Oh my
God. That's not good.
I didn't do it.
Not going to be good. Not going to be good.
Angry listener?
Here are 12 questions for you on a variety of topics, some related, some not related. That pretty much sums it up. I would love to be present to give you clues, but alas, my travel plans don't allow for it. A passing grade is 9 out of 12, although some of the questions have multiple parts. Who knows what all that just meant? Let's try the questions.
Your travel plans. Why am I picturing like ankle tethers or something like that?
Yeah, what's going I don't on? Know.
So why is this person angry?
Yeah,
we're about to find out.
Okay.
There is a U.S. president, which both their first and their last name are characters on TV shows, current TV shows that are on TV right now. First and last name. Let's see if you guys can just start with something as sort of open as that and what can you come up with.
I was thinking Garfield for the cartoon by now.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's good. But there's, I mean, I'm sure there's some characters named James, but we need something because it was James Garfield, right? We need something just a little more specific. The president's initials are GC.
Grover Cleveland.
Yeah. Hey, so where is Grover?
On Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm. And where's Cleveland?
The Cleveland show.
Yeah, and Family Guy. Cleveland show actually was just canceled. 2 days ago. So he's back on Family Guy now. But he's a very popular character for people who like Seth MacFarlane-style comedy. What cartoon character is named after the middle name of a modern-era U.S. president?
Modern.
Modern-era. Middle name of that president is the fairly prominent secondary character on TV's longest-running sitcom.
Simpsons?
The Simpsons.
Bartholomew?
No.
Bart. Not Bart.
Homer?
Not Homer. Bart's best friend. His name is...
Milhouse.
Oh, Nixon. Yeah.
Which is Nixon's middle name. Yes. That's right. Very good. You guys put it together. Let's do a little mental gymnastics as Beth's got her Got Thought t-shirt on here. What do?
Not that I have any. I'm just wearing it.
The leotard counts, though. So,
what do George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, Gerald Ford, and Ulysses S. Grant's names have in common? So the two Bushes, Ford and Grant, what do all their names have in common?
Bush, Ford, and Grant?
Mm-hmm. They're actually pretty close, Dan. Jumped right on top of it. Hmm. Any ideas?
Weird.
Not four letters, right? Because Grant.
Not four letters. Five. That's pretty good.
What do they have
good.
In common?
What do they have in common?
Consonants and vowels, but
if you add up the numbers, it adds up to 666.
Ronald Wilson Reagan. No.
Shave him.
No.
Look for it.
Is it a mathematical kind of answer?
It isn't a mathematical kind of answer. It's more of a, I mean, I would say literary. I don't mean like Shakespeare or anything, but it has to do with words.
It's not that the middle initials don't stand for anything.
Bush,
Herbert Walker, we know.
What was the last one again?
Bush,
Ford, Grant.
Grant.
It's sort of obvious.
Like land masses? And it's, there's Bushes, there's Grants, and there's Ford.
Well, that is exactly the correct answer. The last names are all either nouns or verbs. So we have Bush, Ford, like going across a river, I assume, and Grant. Yep, so that's kind of the style of these questions. See if you guys can run with that idea.
He's making us angry, actually.
Oh, it gets angry. Just stay tuned.
Oh, Lordy.
What do Washington, Madison, Jackson, and Fillmore have in common with Hoover, Nixon, Hayes, Johnson, Andrew, and Johnson, LBJ?
They all had sex with the same woman.
Wow,
not,
that
not
is
the same
not
time,
surprised me, no, although it'd be kind of impressive. And gross, now that I think about it.
Must have been around for 150 years.
Yes, well, wow. It's not impossible.
Longevity.
It is not. Was it, I keep bringing up Edwin, the special they had a few years back with Mo Rocca about Tyler's grandson is still alive because he had his one child so late. It's really weird. That's all I've got to say.
Wow. Okay, so we've got two groups of presidents.
Washington, Madison, Jackson, Fillmore, Hoover, Nixon, Hayes, Johnson, Johnson. Any ideas?
Does it have to do with street names?
No, hotels? But it has to do with words again, not numbers or anything like that.
Okay, what were the first ones again?
Washington, Madison, Jackson, Fillmore.
Those are first. Could those be first names? No.
I suppose that's possible, but that's not
the
answer.
Fillmore, the last name.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking hotels, but.
I was thinking streets, but.
Yeah. Streets, yeah, okay.
Cities.
No. What it says here. is that all of these presidents in both groups, although in a sort of a different way for the two groups, their last names spell multiple words simply by separating them into syllables. Washington, Mad is on, Jack, son, Fillmore, Johnson, ha, yes, ho, over, Nick's on. They're all words put together into their last name. So I'm putting an X-fix to that one.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Beth is looking at me with terror.
We could have been here
just
till midnight.
We can
no
blame.
Wonder you're angry. You're spending time finding these questions, right?
I have a list of six presidential last names that cannot be rearranged as anagrams. They cannot be turned into any other kind of word other than the word that they are. If you guys give me three, we'll be in pretty good shape. Ford, absolutely. Unless you count Dorf, which that doesn't really make that much sense. Nixon, I don't have here. Nixon on, I suppose. They could be rearranged
Bush?
Into... I don't have Bush.
How about Tyler?
Tyler is one of them. Pardon me. Okay. Yes, okay. One more and we're good to go. Last names that can't be rearranged as anagrams.
So it would be short with awkward letters.
Yeah, that's a good way to attack.
A's?
Grant?
Do any X's?
Grant fits. The other ones I had were Jefferson, Taft, and Polk.
Taft.
Jefferson?
Polk,
yeah.
Yep. Yeah, Polk.
Polk.
Polk. That's
one of the
pretty
great
weird.
Ones.
Yeah.
One of the all-time greats.
What? We're not
sure. As big as Taft. Nobody was, so...
Okay, this is a little bit of a broad question to ask, but what is perhaps the most hilarious political anagram of all time? That's very open-ended. Let's just put it this way.
Can you give us a decade or?
I can give you, it's definitely the most modern era.
Okay.
And the anagram of the anagram that I'm looking for is, to copulate, he finds interns.
William Jefferson Clinton.
President Clinton of the USA can be rearranged into, comma, I don't know if you can use this one on the air. Well, neither do we. We're going to find out when the show airs. That's all
I'll
I have to say.
It'll be a long silence.
Yes.
And then he lies about it, and then he gets impeached.
Yes, exactly. Let's try this one. There's something very interesting about this phrase, star comedy by Democrats. What is interesting about this phrase?
Does it refer to Ken Starr?
Is it a palindrome?
It's a palindrome. You can read it the same frontwards and backwards.
Oh
yeah,
my
star
God.
Comedy by Democrats.
Right.
That mathematical mind. Oh. Crazy.
And I'm thinking letterful.
You and your symmetry.
Yes.
You Pythagorean.
Yes, I'll get it right this week.
You forget. I was
so
here that one week. You couldn't figure out diameter and radius.
Oh, my mind was so dumb. Leave me alone. That I paid him to not air that, by the way. Hopefully he didn't. Is he listening? Yes, he's
check
trying.
Check is in the mail.
Profs, here's a riddle. You're a thief, and you've been caught red-handed and brought before the king to face your punishment, which is a death sentence. The king says, my word is the law, and you will die for your crime. But I will allow you to make one statement that will determine how you die. If your statement is true, I'll fry you in oil. If your statement is false, I boil you in water. What is the only statement you could make that would save your life?
I'm a liar or something along that lines. I'm not lying. I'm a liar or something like that.
You're getting in the wheelhouse.
It's a version of a liar's paradox.
Yeah. Say it again. Repeat it again, please.
Sure. If your statement is true, you can make one statement.
Yes.
If your statement is true, I fry you in oil. If your statement is false, I boil you in water.
I do look good in a nice stir fry.
Boil me in oil. Or something like that?
Pretty close. It says, you will boil me in water.
Oh.
Therefore, if the king boils him in water, that would make the statement true.
True.
But the king said if your statement was true, he would fry you in oil, etc. There you go.
Wow.
Pretty well done, Dan. Pretty well done. What is the name of the animated football player robot on the Fox NFL Sunday?
Oh,
he has a name. He has his own Twitter account.
Don't tell me it's like Foxy or Boxy. Or
you are so
Fox.
Close.
I don't watch Fox and I don't watch football. So that's
close
a bad
to where we're going
Foxy.
Here. So, you know the kind of style footwear that a professional football player might use?
Cletus?
His name is Cletus. Yes, spelled with a cleat and then U.S. on the end of it. Yes, and he does tweet. You can follow Cletus if you.
Yeah, what,
so
just like the Mars rover, too?
So clever.
Oh, the sarcastic rover,
yes,
you mean?
Yes.
Oh, man, is that funny. That is one of the funniest fake Twitter accounts I've ever seen.
It's fake?
Somebody tweeted it. It's actually gone a little dormant lately because nobody cares about the rover anymore. But somebody tweeted last year to the rover, sarcastic rover, saying, "You know, rover, I spilled acid on my shoe. What should I do?" He said, "Well, if you watched your shoe dissolve with the acid, I think you did two sciences today." I've never laughed harder in my entire life. That's all I get to say. Oh. The robot's telling me what to do. Let's do a science. That was its yes, its mantra. What famous athlete has agreed to cut off all of his famous hair this November Veterans Day to support veterans of foreign wars?
Oh, Troy Polamalu.
Yes, star of the Head and Shoulders shampoo commercials. And six-time, possibly seven-time Super Bowl champion Pittsburgh Steelers.
Serious
Head and Shoulders going
to
be...
No?
I don't know.
They won't have anybody to
it's true.
Sell their product.
He's got... All I know is that commercial where every time the camera goes back to him, he has more hair until his head is gone. That makes me crack up every time. That is a very clever commercial. Yeah, we definitely are all over the map here, huh? Which bird is the most common official state bird in the United States?
Robin.
It's not the robin.
The sparrow.
The dodo bird.
Let me just say that every time you turn around,
those are extinct.
It isn't the cardinal, is it?
It is. It's the cardinal. Oh, I was about to say. Way to go. Every time you turn around, they're always in the NLCS. That's what I was going to say. They've been in 8 of the last 10 years. You got to be kidding me.
Some of them in my backyard.
How many states do have the cardinal as their official bird, just by number?
22.
No, it's quite a bit less than that.
I would say 9.
7. 7. Okay. Give me 3 of the states that have the Cardinals.
Missouri?
Missouri is not on the list.
It would probably be a northern states.
Ish.
New England.
Minnesota? Minnesota, no.
Washington, Oregon, Utah, Wyoming, Idaho.
Give me some I states to start.
Iowa.
Illinois.
Indiana.
Illinois and Indiana. And then
Michigan.
Idaho.
What's the border of Michigan?
And then where is Professor Jim Tubbs from?
North Carolina.
Yeah, pretty good. Yes. What's the second most common official state bird? There are 6 states that have this bird.
The robin?
I can tell you.
Blue
they
Jim.
Are Kansas, Montana, North Dakota, Nebraska, Oregon, Wyoming. What is the state bird of
Blue
Oregon?
Jay?
It's not.
No?
The woodpecker?
This is not a bird I'm familiar with, so it's kind of weird.
The vulture.
African nor a European swallow.
Is it the wood?
Do coconuts migrate?
You're not familiar with this bird at all?
I've heard, this is the best clue I've got. It was a very famous nickname for one of the Harlem Globetrotters.
Meadowlark.
Geese.
It's the Meadowlark, the Western Meadowlark. Yes.
Geese?
Yes.
Really? Geese Osby?
So here's where things take a rather angry turn.
Oh.
Bonus. Okay. I believe that I'm meant to read this quickly.
Angrily?
And all the way through. But not angrily, because I think the words take care of that.
Do you have to take off your shoe and pound on the on the gavel? Or, you know, use it as a gavel?
Which governor recently aired a TV commercial in which he or she claimed to have kept his or her word from his or her election campaign, yet during the campaign promised he had no plans to make his or her state a right-to-work state, then immediately after election moved to make the state a right-to-work state? Clue.
Governor Mussolini.
He's a tough, lying nerd. Correct answer, wake up, Michiganders. There you go.
Governor Mussolini.
Little Ricky.
I knew there was going to be an angry turn at some point. Saved it for the end. Thank you very much.
We don't believe in democracy anymore.
Apparently not.
Minority rules.
That's right.
Let's see if that one makes the air. That'll be pretty interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
dear Profs.
He'll appoint an emergency financial manager to UDM for having
that's
said that he's a fascist.
The last thing we need.
And a Satan worshiper.
Ay, caramba. Dear Profs, it's been quite a while since I've compiled a list of questions for the show. The last ones I sent seemed to have been well-received, so I figure I'd give it another shot, sending in 20 more. With my questions, you'll be given a short list of actors and actresses. It'll be up to the panelists to come up with the movie they all appeared in together.
Oh, I love
it. I would like to think that a score of 80% would be considered passing, and this is my added emphasis. I think a lot of our students would, too. Thank you again for the opportunity to submit to the show. You sure know how to keep this person happy and entertained. This person right here, Julie Elder of Poughkeepsie, New York. Thank you very much, Julie, for sending in your questions.
Wow, it's been a while, hasn't it?
We will give these a shot, but man, they are going to keep you guys head scratching.
Uh-oh.
They're good. I mean, they're not esoteric. They're just really good. They're really good. James Cromwell, Elsa Lancaster, James Coco, and the uncredited voice of Fay Wray.
It was just on TV. Your favorite movie?
That's the detectives.
Murder by Death.
Is exactly what it is. Or as Professor Chow refers to it, is Dan Maggio's favorite movie.
I was thinking about that.
I was thinking, like, it was on TV the whole night, and I thought about you.
What's the uncredited voice of Fay Wray? What have I
done? I scream.
Really?
That was a scream.
So she didn't speak?
No.
It was she's a scream. Not in the movie.
Wow, that's funny.
Have you seen Murder by Death?
Long time ago.
It's a very, great movie. A very funny movie. It is.
Mm-hmm. James Cromwell's...
He's the butler. Cinematic...
No, he was the driver.
Well, same thing. Well, he was the helper. He was the hired help.
He's the helper.
Benson Mum was the butler, wasn't he?
Benson Mum was the butler. Well, he was the private butler to...
Lionel Twain.
Right. No, James Coco. Cromwell was.
Yeah. Sure. Belgie.
Here we go.
Belgie.
Sounds like we need to see the movie again.
Yes. It was just on the
I'll bring a TV next time.
Klaus Kinski, Rod Steiger, Julie Christie, Alec Guinness, Obi-Wan himself.
Wow.
Can't be Dr. Zhivago.
It is Dr. Zhivago. At least that's what it says here.
Oh.
We'll take it.
Klaus Kinski was in that?
Yes, he went in briefly.
Well, sort of like Fay Wray.
Well, like his ankle made the screen or something.
No. He was actually in it, but not very long.
Okay.
Let's
try this one. The great Ben Vereen, James Caan, Roddy McDowall, Omar Sharif. Pretty distinctive actors. Roddy McDowall.
I mean, he always just, to me...
It sounds like one of the weirdest films ever made.
I know. I mean, the only films I can think of, Roddy McDowall.
And the uncredited voice of Oscar the Grouch. No.
Ben Vereen, Roddy McDowell.
Roddy McDowell's always like... Omar Sharif. I'm familiar with this movie, but I've never seen
it. Roddy McDowell's always like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang or like Planet of the Apes or something like that.
Stick Van Dyke.
Well, in his younger days, he was always chasing Lassie all over
the place. That's right.
Oh, my.
Oh, Roddy?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't picture a movie with Ben Vereen and James Caan in the same movie.
And Omar Sharif.
That's
the kicker.
That's what's throwing me, too.
You guys will have to school me on this. It's a two-word title. The initials are F.L.,
not Footloose.
Funny Lady?
It's Funny Lady.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot Ben Vereen
well
was
done.
In it.
Ben Vereen. I'll tell you what. Stew that one over while we take a quick break. And we are back with some wonderful questions from Julie Elder of Poughkeepsie, New York. Some really, really great questions. I can tell everybody's enjoying them quite a bit, and we've only just scratched the surface.
We've lost our minds.
Yes. Four actors and actresses mixed together. It sounds to me from your description of Funny Lady, again, I haven't seen the movie, Beth, that the key names are being left off the list to send us a red herring.
Well, right. I mean, if Barbara Streisand had been on the list, I would have...
You would have jumped all over it.
Oh, because I kept thinking, Roddy McDowell's... It's got to be one of the Planet of the Apes. No, it can't be.
I don't remember him in the... I mean, I really just remember Barbara Streisand and James Caan.
Sure. Try this one on for size. Russ Tamblyn, Angela Lansbury, Hedy Lamarr, Victor Mature?
Hedy Lamarr? Mature?
Not the Harvey Korman. That's Hedy Lamarr.
I know.
I want to say Sweeney Todd, but that was... They did it on Broadway.
Not Sweeney Todd.
The Manchurian Candidate.
No, not the Manchurian Candidate. Two names from biblical history, Old Testament biblical history. Samson and Delilah. Yes.
Oh, my
very
God.
Well
what
done.
A wretchedly awful film that was.
But what an interesting cast, though.
Yes.
Wow.
I've never seen it, so.
It was a Cecil B. DeMille extravaganza.
And it wasn't any good?
Well, that explains a lot.
I'm sure
it was just over the top.
It was over the top.
Something a little more recent. Noah Wiley, Christopher Guest, Kiefer Sutherland, Demi Moore.
Christopher Guest. Demi Moore?
Kiefer Sutherland,
Demi
Moore.
I was
going to
say, this is Spinal Tap, but that's not it.
No.
Weren't they all in
Christopher
Margin Call?
No, that's not what it says here. They could have been, but that's not what it says here.
Christopher Guest.
And Noah Wiley, too.
Now he's in all those cable movies.
You kind of look like him. You know that, right? There's sort of a resemblance.
Thank you.
Demi Moore.
He looks like Demi Moore? Matt doesn't look a thing like Demi Moore.
For starters, she's like 2 feet tall. Three.
Okay, Russ Tamblyn.
Russ Tamblyn.
No, Noah Wiley, Christopher Guest. Those questions are starting to melt together. Sorry. Kiefer Sutherland and Demi Moore. Or Demi, whatever.
I can't even think of Russ Tamblyn being employed.
You know, I was just going to say.
Isn't
he usually the butt end of a joke somewhere?
Yes. I mean, it's not the Crucible, right?
No, it's not the Crucible.
Or Scarlet Letter?
It's A Few Good Men is the name of the movie.
Jack Nicholson, Thomas Christopher Guest
was in there?
Apparently.
Yes, yeah. He's the doctor, right, who testifies. And Noah Wiley is one of the young
It had Tom Cruise in it, so I don't really remember.
We're talking who called...
I choose not to remember.
We're talking who called the code red. That's A Few Good Men, right? You Can't Handle the Truth, etc. Yeah.
Oh, Dan has an irrational hatred of Tom Cruise that I don't
quite like these ridiculous, over-promoted Hollywood movies with this Jack Nicholson and this repeating this one line. I've never seen Titanic and I never will. I've never seen Pearl Harbor and I never will.
Oh, you're not missing anything there. Okay,
good. I'm glad. So it's just, I put that in that category and I don't really care for Tom Cruise except for Minority Report.
Because it's a good story.
It is a great story.
Well, so is Valkyrie.
We saw that together.
Oh, yeah.
We did.
Moving on.
Made a big impression.
Did we see that at the movie? No. We'll review our...
We didn't go see it in the theater because you don't like Tom Cruise.
Oh, Lordy.
Try this one on for size.
It's getting heat in here. Let's get out of here. It's going to get ugly.
Jack Palance, Billy Dee Williams, Kim Basinger, mm-hmm. Michael Keaton.
Oh, were they all in Batman?
Batman.
That's right. Jack Palance. Yeah. I forgot he was in that.
He was the crime lord,
yeah,
right?
That's
he was.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful looking crime lord.
Absolutely. Danny DeVito, James Cromwell, I'm noticing something. Russell Crowe and Guy Pearce. Double James Cromwell.
Ooh. Russell Crowe.
Danny DeVito, James Cromwell, Russell Crowe, Guy Pearce.
Guy Pearce was an Australian actor.
Mm-hmm. This was a resurgence, I want to say 10 to 15 years ago, of new film noir, and then I think it won some Oscars.
Not L.A. Confidential.
L.A. Confidential, oh, yeah, yes.
Right. One of my favorites. How can I forget that?
Great story.
They left out Kevin Spacey.
There you go.
Obviously.
You need him. You need him.
That's one of the greatest American films ever.
Really? Did it win the Oscar that year? It must have been
Kim
Best Picture.
Kim Basinger won Best Supporting Actress, I think, and the screenplay may have won.
Mm-hmm. Christopher Lloyd. Danny DeVito, another running thing here. Scatman Carruthers, Louise Fletcher.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yes. Dave was right on top of that one.
This was Louise Fletcher because I can't think of any
other movie that she was in.
And then all the others were played some of the, the asylum inmates or whatever.
Well, I'm definitely seeing a little bit of linking going on here.
James Cromwell again?
No, James Sicking, John Larroquette, Robin Curtis, Christopher Lloyd in this list. Sikking, Sicking, James Sicking.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to have to leave you guys hanging on that one, but we'll be back. We've unfortunately got to say goodbye. Professor Oljar.
Goodbye.
Professor DeWint.
Hello and goodbye.
Professor Maggio.
Goodbye.
Professor Dave Chow.
See ya.
And now these words.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, ask the professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and technically directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.